You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right, good morning, everybody. How are you this morning? Happy Easter. Great to see you. Yeah, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I know we have several first-time guests. We're so glad you can be with us today. We want to say welcome to Redemption. We're so glad you chose to be with us for Easter. Welcome to all of you. Now, we are a pretty casual church around here, but we're going to do a little liturgical response this morning, okay? When I say Christ is risen, you respond with a rousing, He is risen indeed. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Christ is risen. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. I said, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Come on, somebody. Well, I have good news for you this morning. Actually, last year, I had the privilege of traveling to the Holy Land. I did a study tour in Israel, and we visited many of the major sites and the places where Jesus actually walked. We walked in His footsteps, and we went to many of the sacred sites where He ministered and performed miracles. And at one point in time, we went to Jerusalem, and they took us to the traditional site called the Garden Tomb. And I waited in line to get in there to visit the tomb. And I have good news. I stuck my head in there, and it was empty. Jesus wasn't in there because He's risen. Come on. He's risen. He's alive. We went to Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is in Jerusalem, most holiest site in all of Christendom, and had a marvelous tour, and they take you to all these little crypts and into the basement, but there is no place where you visit the tomb of Jesus because He ain't in there. He's risen. And so I got good news for you today. We are here to celebrate a victory today. This morning, we're here to take a victory lap. We're here to celebrate the victory of Jesus over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. Today is the day to celebrate a victory. Now, speaking of victory, how many of you sports fans have ever had one of your favorite teams win a championship? Anybody? Come on, you know, we got some Giants and Yankees fans in here. If you're a Mets or a Jets fan, I know this is kind of painful for you. Well, there's always next year. Come on. When you're a Jets fan, there's always next year, right? But if you've ever had your team win a championship, what a feeling, right? What an amazing thing to celebrate. It's fun to be on the winning team, isn't it? It's fun to be on a winning team. We all get to be on the winning team today. It's so much fun when your team wins, especially a championship. And do you remember that moment when victory was secured? I mean, you know, you were nervous through the whole game, but you knew, like, you know, there wasn't enough time left on the clock and the quarterback went into the victory formation and kneeled the ball, or maybe your team hit the buzzer beater shot, or you were just up by so many runs, you knew there was no chance the other team could come back. It feels good, right? That moment of relief, that moment when you know the victory is secured. Now, some of you guys know I'm actually a New Orleans Saints fan, and my team has only been to the Super Bowl once, and we won the whole thing when we got there back in 2010. And growing up, man, the Saints stunk. I mean, they were bad for so many years. I mean, we could barely even make it to the playoffs. I had waited for a long time. For my team to finally get to the Super Bowl. And I'll never forget that moment in the fourth quarter. Peyton Manning and the Colts were charging down the field. The Saints were up by a touchdown. How many of you know you never want Peyton Manning to be on the other team when it's a close game in the fourth quarter? Right? So we were pretty nervous, like chomping at the bit, like praying some prayers. I was praying. I had been waiting for this my whole life. I'll never forget, it was the fourth quarter. Peyton Manning was driving the Colts down the field with 3 minutes left, just over 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter on third and five. He dropped back, threw a pass, and Tracy Porter, cornerback for the Saints, stepped in front of that pass and took it back the other way, intercepted it, took it 75 yards the other way for a pick six. It was at that moment that I knew the victory was sealed. At that point, I ripped my shirt off. I started punching everybody in the room was pulling for the other team. Oh, yeah. And I'll never forget, you know, we watched the game at my mother-in-law's house, and I was an associate pastor at the time, and the church secretary is there. She was a friend of my mother-in-law, and she was scandalized that one of the associate pastors would rip his shirt off. And I was like, woman, I waited for this championship my whole life. You ought to be glad it's just my T-shirt. I was excited. But it was that moment that the victory was secured. Can I tell you this morning, church, here's what Easter's all about. We're here to celebrate the moment that the victory was secured. That's what the first Easter was all about. That's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about. Our victory has been secured. So today I want to talk to you about three victories that we celebrate at Easter time. We're going to just get right into it. If you want to take notes, please join along. Three victories that we celebrate on this day. Here's the first one. Number one, we celebrate that hope triumphs over despair. Come on, you got up this morning, you could have been somewhere else. You came to church on Easter Sunday, and so I want to give you some good news. Number one, we celebrate that hope triumphs over despair. Look at the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He wrote this, He said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." Somebody say living hope. Birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what we celebrate on Easter. We have been born into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, back to our sports analogy for just a moment. If you've been a sports fan, you've experienced this before. You know that you can experience the highs and the lows all in one game. You can experience exhilaration and despair all in one game, right? One moment it looks like your team's got this, you're going to be good. Then the other team comes back at the last minute. The other team hits a last minute buzzer beater shot, whatever, right? If you've been a sports fan, you've experienced the agony of being exhilarated one moment to have it all taken away from you in just a moment. Have you been there before? I know as a sports fan, I have experienced that heartache. And this is exactly what happened to the apostles during Passion Week, during the last week of Jesus's life. What happened was they had experienced the exhilaration of Palm Sunday, of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He came into Jerusalem and he was welcomed as this great prophet, this great teacher, this miracle worker. Some even believed that he was the Messiah, and they shouted prophecies to him, things like, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." He was welcomed. He was welcomed as the Son of God. And I'm sure that the disciples thought for just a moment, like, this is it. This is our moment. Like, Jesus is finally being recognized for who he is, and we're going to see his, like, kingdom inaugurated right here. Well, we know how Passion Week went, right? Just a few days later, they would witness Jesus be betrayed by one of their own, and he would be arrested and tried and crucified. They watched him be crucified, and then he would eventually be buried in a tomb. And so they had gone from exhilaration to despair all in one week. And then on that very first Easter Sunday, there was this rumor that the body of Jesus was missing. And so the apostles got up that day and they ran to the tomb of Jesus, and they had to confront their greatest despair all over again. They had to confront their greatest disappointment. I mean, basically they had to relive their nightmare that Jesus, the Messiah, the one that they had dropped everything to follow for 3 years, the one who literally was the embodiment of their hope, he was dead. And what was worse, at this point, his body was missing. Now, I think most of us can actually identify with the apostles. Most of us can identify with the disciples, because some of you, you've had to face some tombs in life before. A tomb represents a place, a season, a time in your life when your hope died. It represents a time in life when you experienced despair, a time when hope was lost. Maybe it was a literal tomb. Maybe it was somebody that you loved died. They passed away. You had to say goodbye to someone that you loved maybe much earlier than you thought you would have to, a literal tomb. Maybe for some of you, it was a dream that died. It was a dream for something that you wanted in life. Maybe it was your dream job. Maybe it was the dream of going back to school or getting out of debt, or maybe it was a relationship that you had high hopes for and it didn't work. At some point in time, we've probably all been there before. If you've lived enough life, you've come to this point where you saw life kind of ending up in one place and going a certain direction, but it didn't happen that way and your hope died. And you've experienced some disappointment and disillusionment, if you're honest. We've probably all been there before, even despair. Some of you might be in a season like that right now. And this is why Easter is so powerful. Easter is so powerful because this isn't just some romantic story where everything is just good and it feels good. No, no, no. This story takes place in real life. This story takes place in the midst of darkness. Christians literally find our most meaningful event in the midst of one of the darkest moments for the apostles, the darkest moment for our Savior, the darkest moment in world history, because Christians have believed for 2,000 years that the Son of God actually came to this planet in flesh and blood, and he died here. Think about that for a moment. I know we hear that and we know Christ, you know, died on the cross, and we just remember that at Good Friday. But stop and think about that for a moment. The Son of God came here and he died on planet Earth. What a dark moment in world history. And in the midst of that, we know how the story ends. We know that Jesus didn't stay in the grave, but he overcame death. Come on, if he can overcome death, he can overcome anything. We know the end of the story. We know how it turns out. You see, we don't just need a God who can save us from our sins. We don't just need a God who can work miracles in our life, a God who can help us find a way to heaven. We need all of those things, but we need a God who's been to the other side and come back to tell about it. I have good news for you this morning, church. Jesus Christ has been to the other side of your despair, and he's come back victorious over sin, over death, over hell, over the grave. There's nothing that you have to fear. There's nothing that you have to fear. There's nothing on the other side, on the unknown on the other side that you have to be afraid of, because Jesus has already been to the other side and he's overcome your greatest fears. He's overcome the greatest despair the world has ever seen. So we can have hope today. We can have hope. See, the scripture says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I, we're in the midst of our today, and sometimes we're going through an unknown season. But I want to tell you, we believe in one who's been to tomorrow and come back, and he's lived to tell about it. So you can have hope today. You can have hope today. Hope makes all of the difference. Now, imagine that you had to go back and relive a season of life, a difficult season of life, a tomb season, a season where things were hard, where maybe your hopes died, or you went through a difficult season, you had some challenges. Knowing what you know now, that you survived it. Come on, you lived to tell about it. You're here this morning. You got through that situation. You made it through. What if you could go back in time? What would you say to yourself? What if you could go back and relive that, knowing what you know now, knowing that you made it through? You would experience that episode in a complete new way, wouldn't you? Why? Because you know you got through it. You would experience it with hope, right? Hope changes everything. You know, every now and then I watch some clips of that Super Bowl, that one Saints Super Bowl. And here's the funny thing. I get a little bit nervous watching it even now. Sometimes I watch those clips and I'm like, are they still going to win? I know, right? I was showing my son some clips the other day and I still get a little bit nervous watching, but I know there's that moment when there's 3:25 left in the game when Tracy Porter's going to step in front of that football, intercept it and take it back the other way. And I know the victory is secured. So when I watch the game, I experience it in a different way. How would you experience life if you really believe that what we celebrate on Easter was true? How would you experience life if you really believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, actually went to the cross, laid in a tomb, was resurrected, went to the other side of death, the other side of your despair, and came back and lived to tell about it? Would it change the way you would experience life? Come on, hope changes everything. If you have hope, you can make it. I want to encourage you this morning, hold on to hope. I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know what you're facing in life, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells me we can hope against all hope. You can place your faith in him. Jesus said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible to those who believe. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what trials you're facing, no matter what difficulties you have, today, Easter Sunday is a reminder that we can have hope because Jesus has been to the other side. And I want to just encourage you this morning, you hold on to hope. Hope changes everything. Come on, you can get through almost anything if you have hope. Some of you have learned that. You can survive almost anything if you have hope. And on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the greatest hope we could ever have. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing we celebrate on Easter Sunday. Number two, we celebrate that freedom triumphs over sin. Second victory, freedom triumphs over sin. Look at this. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans chapter 6. He says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. We actually share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at this, verse 5. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin because freedom triumphs over sin. That's what happens. That's what we celebrate today. Now, Paul gives us some imagery here. Here's what he says. Look at this again in verse 4. He says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. This is a mental picture here. This is some imagery of baptism. Basically, here's what he's saying. We share in the death of Jesus Christ. We go down into the waters of baptism and we identify with Christ and then we're raised to new life in Christ. We come out of the waters of baptism a new person. There's an actual picture here. There's a picture here of us dying to our old selves and being raised to the new us in Christ Jesus. We share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, if we can just have an honest moment in church today on Easter Sunday, here's what the Bible says, and I think if we're all just honest with ourselves, we probably know it's true. We all sin. We all sin. That's what the scripture says is true of all of us, but let's just keep it real today. And I know some of you struggle with that word sin. Maybe that feels like an old-fashioned word to you, a really harsh word. Here's the reality. There are things about us that are broken. We have patterns of thinking that are broken. There are things deep down on the inside of us that are broken. Every now and then we hurt people. Every now and then we make selfish decisions. Every one of us, if we're just honest, there are things about ourselves that we wish we could change, that we've tried really hard to change, that we just find that we can't change. Can we just be honest in church this morning? And in the Church of Jesus Christ, we call that sin. There's a brokenness about us. See, sin is more than just something you do. It'd be one thing if sin was just something you do. In fact, we like to talk about it that way because when it's an action, it resides outside of us. I did something sinful. What's worse is not only do we do sinful things, but we actually have a sinful nature. The scripture says that we have a sinful nature. It means that we have this bent towards sin. We have like a magnet that pulls on us towards sinful behavior. If you don't believe it, how many of you have found that you have to try really hard not to sin? Anybody ever discovered that? How many parents ever realized that you didn't have to teach your kids to do bad things? They figured that out all on their own. Come on, parents, where are you this morning? We're gonna have a group therapy session this morning. If you raise kids, you know what I'm talking about. You didn't have to teach them how to be selfish. You didn't have to teach them how to throw temper tantrums, how to not get along with their siblings. They figured that out perfectly all on their own. You noticed that, right? It's what we call a sinful nature. Now, how many of you have noticed that you have to try really hard? Like, let's say, for example, how many of you have noticed that you don't have to try hard to eat junk food or to be lazy and lay around? That comes really easy, doesn't it? How many of you have discovered, on the other hand, that you have to try really hard to get your butt up off the couch and go to the gym to actually exercise and eat healthy? We have to try to do that, right? That's a good little illustration. See, our sinful nature is kind of like that. We don't have to try hard to sin, it just happens. We actually have to try hard to not to, and we fail so many times even though we try hard not to. Now, here's the thing. We believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for our sins. For 2,000 years, the church has professed that Jesus actually died in our place. He was the substitute for our sins. We just remembered that on Good Friday. But here's the reality, okay? If you have a sinful nature, you need something more than just a payment for your sins, because your sins aren't just an action. They're a part of who you are. I have good news for you, that Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross, but his resurrection is what gives you freedom from sin. It's what sets you free. You don't just need a payment for your sin. What we really want to be deep down on the inside is to be a new person, to be a new person, to have a whole new reality, to be the person that we know we can be deep down on the inside of you. See, there's a version of you deep down on the inside of you that you really long to be. Let's get real this morning. There's a version of you. It's the best version of yourself. Come on, you know there's the you on your worst day and there's the you on your best day. How many of you know there's a little bit of a gap between those two? If you can't be honest with yourself, just go home and ask a few friends and family who know you really well. They'll be honest with you. They'll say, honey, I'm going to just be honest with you. There's you on your best day, and there's you on your worst day, and there's a big gap in between those two. Just find somebody who loves you enough to tell you the truth. That's true for all of us, right? There's something deep down on the inside of us, the best version of ourselves, the version of us that we really want to be. If we didn't have these hang-ups and habits and these things that keep us from being that person, we want to have a lot more of those good days. There's you on the inside of you. Now, speaking of identity, how many of you saw the movie a couple years ago? Remember this movie, 12 Years a Slave? Came out in 2013. It actually won the Academy Award for Best Picture. Powerful movie. It actually tells the story of Solomon Northrop. It's based on his memoir that was written in the 1850s. And tells the story of him being sold into slavery back in 1841. Solomon Northrop was actually born a free man of color in New York State. He was a black man who was actually a skilled worker, skilled carpenter, violin player. And he was lured by two white men who professed to be circus promoters, who offered him a very lucrative gig playing in the circus, a brief job. And they lured him down to New York City and eventually to Washington, D.C. And they drugged him. He woke up drugged and chained. And they actually passed him off as a slave. And he ended up being sold on the slave market. They were shipped down to New Orleans and sold on a slave market. And ended up spending 12 years working on plantations in Louisiana. And he experienced all the cruelties and horrors of life as a slave and in the antebellum South. And he wrote about these memoirs in this story. And at one point in time, he had been beaten for, you know, claiming his freedom. And he eventually just accepted his lot as a slave. He quit telling people he was a free man. In fact, he was given a new name, Platt. People called him Platt. And he had like this new identity. And he really thought he'd never see his family ever again, until he ended up meeting this compassionate Canadian man who actually took a risk and spread word back to his family up in upstate New York, and they got word that he was alive. And with the help of New York State, they came down and worked through the legal process and were able to actually set him free. They were able to set him free. And he came back to his wife and his family in New York. Here's the amazing thing. It's a beautiful redemption story. It's a beautiful redemption story because he got his life back. Not only was he no longer a slave, but he got his life back. He came back to New York to embrace who he really was. It was like he was reborn to be his true self again. I guarantee you nobody ever called him by a slave name ever again. He was back to being Solomon. He got his life back. Can I tell you that this is what Easter is all about? Easter means that you share in Christ's victory over sin. It means that that was broken about you no longer defines you. Your past no longer defines you. Your sinfulness no longer defines you. Your hang-ups and your bad habits no longer define you. But it's who you are in Christ Jesus that describes you. You get a new lease on life. The scripture says whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You can be a new person. You can be redeemed. You can be the person that God always intended you to be. I want to tell you, Solomon Northup, he didn't go back home just to not be a slave. He went back home to be who he really was, to assume his rightful identity. Can I just say this morning, can the real you stand up? Can the real you just stand up and embrace who you are in Christ Jesus, saved, whole, redeemed, to be who you really are in Christ? This is about you coming home. Easter's about us coming home to who we are truly in Christ. This is about us being who God intended us to be. This is about us embracing our full redemptive potential in Christ Jesus, that best version of you that deep down on the inside you always knew you could be. I believe that God the Father, God the Creator, planted that hope on the inside of you. And Easter is the promise. It's the promise of resurrection. It's the promise of new life, that not only are your sins paid for, but you can be a new person in Christ Jesus, redeemed to be who you were meant to be in Christ Jesus. You ought to get happy right about now. That's the victory that we celebrate on Easter. Yeah. You can be a new person, not just forgiven, but a new person. Here's the third thing that we celebrate, the third victory that we celebrate on Easter, because Easter is a celebration. Easter is we're taking a victory lap today. The third thing is that life triumphs over death. Life triumphs over death. See, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was a catalyst for the very first Christians. This was where Christianity was really born, at the resurrection. There were followers of Christ, the apostles, the disciples. There were witnesses. In fact, at one point in time in the book of Acts, it says 500 people, like, they saw Jesus Christ resurrected. These people followed Jesus. They saw him, like, arrested. They saw him hanging on a cross. Like, they saw him, like, executed, murdered. They saw him die. They saw him be buried in a tomb. And then Jesus Christ rose from the dead and appeared to them again, and it changed their lives. When you read the Gospels, it does not paint a picture of the apostles being great men and women of faith during the Passion, during, you know, Jesus' crucifixion. They were scattered. They were confused. They were in despair. They thought this thing was all over with. They were disillusioned. But think about this. Do you remember the story of Doubting Thomas from Sunday school? Doubting Thomas, he was one of the apostles. He didn't even believe. He's like, I got to see it with my own eyes. And Jesus appeared to him and he said, Thomas, you can touch the nail scars in my hands. And you know that tradition tells us that Thomas went on to be a great apostle, great preacher. He took the gospel all the way to India and, like, changed the world. Why? Because he saw a resurrected Christ. We read about James, the brother of Jesus, in the book of Acts. James was the half-brother of Jesus. Now, if there's anybody that's hard to convince that you are the Son of God, it's your own half-brother. Let's just keep it real, right? I mean, talk about, you have to see a miracle to believe that your half-brother is the Son of God. Well, guess what? That's what happened to James. James was a doubter, but he saw Jesus resurrected, changed his life. He became one of the chief apostles. He became the leader in the church in Jerusalem. And tradition tells us he was martyred. He gave his life. Why? Because he saw his half-brother resurrected. He saw Jesus come back from the dead. We read about the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, who denied Christ during his moment of greatest need, when Jesus was being arrested, Jesus was being tried. He denied Christ. What happened? Peter was a broken man. Jesus appeared to him. He saw Jesus crucified. He appeared to Peter. He reinstated Peter. He healed Peter. He commissioned him. He said, go on and, like, preach the gospel. You're going to be like the cornerstone, right? And what did Peter do? He went out and he preached the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, he got up and he preached, and 3,000 people were baptized. Tradition tells us that Peter went all the way to Rome and he died a martyr, crucified upside down. Why? Because he saw Jesus resurrected. The resurrection changed everything. Changed everything. The New Testament theologian C.H. Dodd put it this way. He said, the resurrection is not a belief that grew up within the church. It is the belief around which the church itself grew up and the given upon which its faith was based. This was the catalyst. This was the cornerstone. This is what gave birth to Christianity. This is why these Christians took this message all around the Roman Empire within a few centuries, saturated it, and they took the gospel to the four corners of the earth. And here we are today because of this resurrection message. And why is this so powerful? Some of you might be saying, well, that's nice, but so what? Why is this so powerful? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we human beings have a little death problem, don't we? we don't just have a sin problem, we have a death problem. The scripture tells us that because of the curse of sin, death entered into the world. You and I have to deal with the fact that every one of us, we have an expiration date in our lives. Sooner or later, every one of us, we're gonna die. It's gonna happen to every one of us. We lose people that we love. We have to say goodbye to people that we love. We don't see them anymore. We don't get to hear their voice anymore. Some of you have experienced this. You're acquainted with death. You're acquainted with the reality that none of us is gonna live forever. The great tragedy of life is we long for transcendence, yet we know deep down on the inside, we are very aware of the fact that we can't live forever. Death seems so final to us, doesn't it? It is the great irreversible. I'll never forget a few years ago, burying my father-in-law at 58 years old. He died of a heart attack, unexpected, and I preached his funeral. I'll never forget his graveside committal in a snowy, cold February day in Buffalo, New York. And when I picture that memory, it's like I see it in black and white. There was snow everywhere, nothing but white ground everywhere and tombs, and yet there was this black hole in the ground. It was such a powerful image that here we were about to take my father-in-law, who just like last week I had seen him alive, full of life, and now we were putting him in a casket in a tomb to say goodbye. It felt so final. It felt so irreversible. In fact, Benjamin Franklin famously said, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. And I'm pretty sure in Westchester County, taxes, they'll even tax you after death. Come on, New York State is the one exception. Even after death, you might get taxed still in this state. Let's just be real. But here's the good news of Easter. Easter means that Jesus reverses the irreversible. Jesus conquers death. Come on, not even the grave could hold him down. We don't have to be afraid of anything. The one thing that everybody is naturally afraid of, we don't have to be afraid of, because Jesus has been to the other side of death and he's come back. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that resulted in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is about. We celebrate, we revel, we share in Jesus' victory even over the grave. Easter reminds us of the ultimate hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That you and me, we're not going to just rot in some grave somewhere. That death isn't the end. It may feel so final, but Jesus reverses the irreversible. This is the blessed hope of the church, that the church has professed for 2,000 years, that one day Jesus Christ is going to return. There's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. You say, Pastor, how's that going to happen? I don't know. It's a mystery. It's a beautiful mystery. It's what we call the blessed hope of the church. But it's not hope like some flimsy hope, like a hope one day there's going to be world peace. No, it's hope like assurance. Like as sure as we are today, we got up and voted with our feet to come to church on Easter Sunday. As sure as we are that Jesus Christ actually lay in a grave and was resurrected, we share in that same assurance that one day Jesus Christ is going to call us forth and we're going to experience eternal life. That to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the hope that we have. It's the hope of eternal life. But can I just tell you this morning, it's not just some far-off future hope. No. It's not just some far-off future hope. Easter is about new life. It's about resurrection life invading the here and now. As we read the scriptures, as we see the apostles describe this, as we see this description of eternal life, we begin to realize that it's not just a future hope. Oh, it's a future hope, but it's a hope that begins to invade the present. It's a quality of life. It's a kind of life that we can experience in the here and now. It's eternal life that when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, it starts right now and unfolds into the future. Say, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like forgiveness instead of bitterness. It looks like generosity instead of self-centeredness. It looks like love instead of hate. It looks like hope instead of despair. It looks like freedom instead of bondage. It looks like life instead of death. It looks like healing and beauty and goodness and truth and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and reconciliation and redemption. That's what it looks like. It's a quality of life that you can experience in the here and now in Christ Jesus. Because, you know, we have these seasons of life where we just kind of find ourselves going through the motions, don't we? Sometimes we have these seasons of life where we feel like we're just drifting through, just kind of going through life, just getting up every day, doing the grind, commuting, going to work, same old supervisor, same old coworker, same old bills I got to pay every day, taking care of our kids, spending money, doing this, doing that. And if we're honest, there are these seasons where we kind of just feel like we're going through the motions, where we lost our purpose. Maybe you've had a season where you're like, I thought I'd be somewhere different in life. I never thought life would be like this. And for some of you, you really feel guilty because you identify with this, but you look around and you have so many blessings in life. You have so much to be thankful for. But if you're honest, you've found yourself in a season like that where you were just kind of going through life. But here's the good news I want to tell you this morning, church. Here's what the hope of Easter is all about. The hope of Easter is that you don't just have to go through life, but you can experience the resurrection life of Jesus Christ going through you. By His Spirit, He can breathe new life into you. He can put His Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He can give you purpose. He can give you new life. He can heal you. He can forgive you. He can set you free. He can give you a whole new life. That's what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. And I want to tell you this morning, church, the number one reason I'm a Christian, the number one reason I'm standing here today professing this message to you with boldness, it's not because I went to seminary. It's not because I went to Bible college. It's not because I grew up in church. I went to Sunday school and my dad's a pastor. I'm thankful for all of those meaningful experiences in my life. But I want to stand here and tell you this morning on Easter Sunday, the reason I'm a follower of Jesus Christ is because He changed my life. Because when I was 16 years old, I placed my faith in Him. For the first time, I owned my faith for myself. I placed my trust in Him. I invited Him into my life, and He came into my heart, and He gave me His Holy Spirit, and He set a new course for my life. He gave me new purpose. And since I was 16 years old, I've never been the same person. Changed my life, changed the trajectory of my life. I don't even want to think where I'd be today if not for placing my faith in Him. Can I tell you, my whole life, I've seen Jesus change people. I've seen Jesus heal people. Like literally, I've seen miracles. I've seen people healed. I've seen people set free. I've seen drug addicts become preachers. I've seen broken people become whole. I've seen people live through what they went through, which you never thought they would have survived, and they were redeemed in the middle of it, and God used their story to bless somebody else. I've seen Jesus change people's lives. And I want to tell you this morning, you're surrounded in this church this morning by people who have a story. You're surrounded by all kinds of different stories in this place of people who have been impacted by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the new life and the message of Jesus Christ. And I want to give you just an opportunity to catch a glimpse of that this morning. Check this out.
My name is Gloria, and I just want to share a little bit of my life with you. Since I was a little girl, I experienced a lot of pain, including child abuse and neglect. My life went through like that for so many years, for so long. I grew up with a family that was very religious, and there was always the belief in a greater being, and I think that helped me to go through. I overcame a lot of adversities because of that. However, in my adult life, I experienced, I think, the worst thing through my divorce. That broke me down. I was broken physically and spiritually, and I needed somebody who can help me to overcome this. I couldn't do it by myself. Years ago, I decided to follow Jesus with all my heart. And after I took that decision, I joined the life group, and I found that I was missing something, and that something was true faith. A lot of people there, they helped me with their faithfulness, with the prayer. I learned the power of prayer. And since then, I experienced so many good things in my life. I experienced the blessings of God. After that, after a few months, I decided to get baptized. And I was cleansed. My body was cleansed. My spirit was cleansed. I was reborn. And I know that I experienced the blessings of God in so many ways. My faith has grown so much, and I don't want to go back where I was before. I don't want to go back 3 years ago. I am in a better place now, and I know the blessings of God have put me in a better place.
Come on, let's give it up for Gloria sharing her testimony. She represents so many people in our church whose lives have been changed, and I got to see her story up close and personal and seeing the wonderful work that God has done in her life. And I believe he wants to do it in your life as well. I want to invite you to stand with me as we close in prayer this morning. For those of you who are new to our church, we're going to have a moment of prayer. In just a moment, our worship team is going to come back. And this is a moment of reflection. This is a sacred moment in our service where we bow our heads and our hearts before God, and we allow him to speak to our hearts. And so I want to pray for you this morning. I want to tell you that Easter is not just about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. It's about embracing your personal resurrection. It's about letting go of the old you, the sinful you, and embracing the new person that you can be in Christ Jesus. This isn't about religion. This isn't about being a good person. This isn't about trying harder. This is about you embracing what Jesus Christ did for you that you could never do for yourself. Him giving his life for you. And being resurrected so that you could experience new life. I want to invite you just to bow your head. Every person in this place, bow your head. Just close your eyes in this moment and in God's presence. Sacred moment, just to bow your head and your hearts before God this morning. And I just believe that there are some people in this place, as you've heard these worship songs, as you've heard this message and the testimony that was shared, I just believe there's something on the inside of you. There's something on the inside of you that would say, man, I want that. Like, I want to experience that. I want to know God. I want to have like a sense of God's presence in my life, a sense of God's purpose for my life. I really want to embrace that new person that I can be in Christ. I want to be defined by my past. I don't want to be defined by my sins and what's broken about me, but I want to experience this saving work that you've described this morning, Pastor Jeremy. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head all around this place. If that's you this morning, we believe the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. We believe that's the goodness of God who's drawing you to himself by his grace today because he loves you, he knows you, he wants a relationship with you. And if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, and I want to invite you to start by just giving your yes to Jesus, by saying, Jesus, I want that. I want to know you. I want you as my Savior. And if that's you, I want to know who I'm praying for, because in just a moment, I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to invite you to pray after me. But if that's you, with every head bowed, on the count of three, I want you just to slip your hand up quickly so I can see who I'm praying for, so I know who's praying with me. On the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you, slip your hand up. Come on, slip your hand up all over this place. Hands going up all over this place. Just slip your hand up. Hands going up all over this service this morning, all over this congregation, people saying yes to Jesus. If that's you, just slip your hand up. Every head is bowed. Nobody's looking around. We're going to pray for you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Would you pray with me? Just bow your head this morning. Would you pray with me? Jesus, just repeat this prayer under your breath, in your heart. Jesus, I give you my yes. Come on, everybody can pray this prayer. Jesus, I give you my yes. I believe you are who you say you are, the Son of God, that you live for me, that you died for me, you are resurrected for me. And I say yes to you today to be my Savior. I repent from my sins. I turn from the past, from the old life, and I embrace the new today. Jesus, I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I put my faith in you, and I receive you today. Give me your Holy Spirit and new life today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me bless you this morning. Father, we thank you for every person who prayed that prayer. Father, we thank you that you heard every prayer today. God, I thank you that the scripture says it just takes childlike faith, just simple, innocent faith to place our trust in you. God, I thank you that the scripture says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we believe that today people were welcomed into your family. People were welcomed into your kingdom, that God, you received them as your sons and daughters. Now, Father, I bless every person in this place, every person in this place. We want the new life that we can find in Christ. And so I declare over this congregation forgiveness, healing, wholeness, redemption. Father, that people are set free today to embrace a new life in Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give praise. Let's give thanks this morning, church. for those who place their faith in Jesus Christ.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.